5, your weekly FGC talk show, brought to you by, yet again, no Efren this week, so it's going to be me, John, and Steve. Efren is still tending to his newborn baby daughter, and so we're giving him the time he needs to do that. But I am brought to you, thank you, Zero Star X, for the early in the show sub. But yes, I am bringing it to you this week with John and Steve, who are, I believe, here right now. Oh, and, okay, Camila is joining us as part of the show.
Baby Cammy.
Top tier already from birth.
Gets me right here. So beautiful.
But yes, there's a lot to talk about this week for sure. We got E-League coming up. We've got a variety of tournaments that just passed. And, I mean, Evo is less than a month a week at this point. And thank you yet again to Piuzera for the sub.
Thank you.
So like always, I think we're going to jump straight into a CPT recap with Steve.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a plan of some sort. There is a whole lot that went down this weekend. Over in Europe, we had Viennality, which is basically the big NRS major in Europe. It was part of the Injustice 2 Pro Series this year, the only offline event in Europe on this circuit. And oh, Canada! Biohazard, Hayate, and Honeybee sweeping the podium, 1-2-3. Irish Mantis had the weight of the continent on him in fourth place, but it was all about Canada. Katana Prime, the lone U.S. rep, making top eight, so congratulations to him. If we could take a look at the standings for the Pro Series, this is good news for Biohazard. He is the first player to clinch a spot in the Injustice Pro Series Grand Final. Tweety right there on his heels in second place. But yeah, top 12 make it. Biohazard already assured of being in that top 12, so congratulations to him. Let's take it over to Abiget Cup. This was part of both the Tekken World Tour and the Capcom Pro Tour. On the Tekken World Tour side, it was Nii who took it. He had to run the gauntlet of Japan. He entered the day in loser side, ended up having to beat Take, Nobi, and Naroma all in a row to take the title. He ended up doing that, getting his fourth win of the season. And if we take a look at what that means for the standings, that means that Nii has clinched one of those top 19 spots in the Tekken World Tour standings. So
and when does the finals happen?
That is going to be in Amsterdam.
But when?
Oh, first weekend of December.
Okay, and he's already clinched it in early July. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This was actually the halfway point in terms of offline events. So it's just ridiculous how dominant he has been. Like 500 points clear of JDCR, the guy who everyone would assume would just run away with this thing. But Nii is just on a whole nother level. But like I said, it was Japan dominating. There were no Korean players on winner's side in top eight. So pretty strong weekend for Japan, even though they didn't get the win at the end of the day. But Abiget Cup, like I said, was also part of the Capcom Pro Tour. And that's good news for Gachi-kun because he got the win and 150 valuable points, taking it in the grand final over Xiao Hai, who gets his second consecutive second place finish. You look at some of the names just outside of top eight, Gamer B, Haitani, Storm Kubo. Killer after killer after killer at these events. So it's so hard to get, you know, these ranking events are just so tough to get points at, unlike last year. And I know I've talked about that to death. So.
Pretty impressive to see a Zangief in third place, though, at this point. I mean, he is one of the only geese left, and for him to beat Xian is really impressive for sure.
Good weekend for him. excuse me.
And thank you, before we move on to the next slide, to Jerry for subbing.
Thank you, Jerry. Also, if I sound weird, I've been sick for the last couple days, so
he's dying and he's still doing a recap for you guys. Just know that.
It's because I care about the people, and yeah. I don't trust.
Unlike
you guys,
Efren, who's not even trying. Come on.
Yeah, man. He doesn't care about the people.
All he cares about is his daughter who is newborn and can't take care of herself because she's only 7 days old.
He actually asked that all the sub money go straight to just formula for the dog, which is like the most selfish thing I think you could ask for.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crap. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah. Forget all that. Let's talk about Sonic Boom. This was the offline event in Europe this week on the CPT, and the name up top, a name we've seen in the standings, up in the mix, but never on top. Hurricane, congratulations to him getting his first ever CPT win, taking it over Kobolcog in the grand final. You see John Takeuchi and Luffy in the mix for top eight, but very, very, very strong performance for Hurricane. Good to see more players in Europe stepping up and showing that they can hang with the best of the best. Taking it stateside, there was also an online event. This was the second West Coast online event for CPT North America. And congratulations to Nephew. He took it over Toy, who made grand finals in both online events, but
lost to two different Colleen players.
Yeah. So you had Nephew, you had Brent, name we haven't seen in the mix for a little while. He got top three, so congratulations to him. What does this all mean for the Pro Tour standings? Well, let's take a look. No player outside of Mena has officially qualified yet, although Fujimura is basically maybe a week or two away from doing that. You have right now, as we near the halfway point, Chuan, Toy, Gamerby, Akainu, a couple other players, right in that 150 to 160 range, which is the current cutoff now. You got to think it's 350, 360 is going to be the number to think about, although that could change. That could rise depending on if some of these top players skip events towards the end of the season.
Got to get seventh place at 350 different ranking events. That's hard.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do, but it's doable. I believe in you, John.
Thanks.
I don't believe in you.
What?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Outside of that, we had a couple more events in the Red Bull Conquest Series. We had one in New York. Street Fight on the Street Fighter side of things, Punk took it over his buddy slash rival Idom. Lost Soul taking it in Guilty Gear, and Fighting GM, a guy we haven't really seen at Tekken World Tour events all that much, but he's a very strong player. He took the Tekken tournament, so those three players will represent New York in the Conquest Finals.
Gotta think that's one of the strongest Conquest teams.
Yeah, just on name value alone, that is just a ridiculously strong squad.
Yeah.
You know, not to hate on anybody else, but you got a guy who you've got arguably one of the best anime players in the country. You've got one of the best Street Fighter players in the country. And Fighting GM, like I said, he's not a guy who's been on this year's Tekken World Tour too much, but strong, strong player. Sleep on him at your own peril. There was also a qualifier out in Nashville, and it was people from around the Nashville area, or not in the Nashville area, but pretty close by, who took it. You had Rob TV coming down from Ohio to take Street Fighter, Bafo Jig coming down from Georgia, and Lil Majin, the man who made a great run at CEO, coming over from Memphis to take Tekken over Spiro Jim. So those three will be your Nashville representatives. And then this weekend, we've got Conquest events in Dallas and St. Paul, Minnesota. So,
and I'll be commentating the Dallas event. So if you want to watch that and hear my voice even more, you should do that.
And I will actually, I couldn't get work off, but I will be popping into the St. Paul event towards the end. So if you want to see me, why would you do that? But that option is there.
You can
Steve
meet
very
two,
fun in person.
Two of the now three best of five members that talk on the show at Red Bull events this weekend.
Yeah. So what are you doing, John?
Working.
What ebbs?
Burning up in Arizona.
So here's something interesting. We actually talked about the fact that Abigail Cup was going to be run on PC, but that didn't end up happening.
Hey, I'm blocking here.
Actually, oh, thank you to Efren. Not even. No claps. Thanks, Efren, for subscribing to yourself.
I'll give him. You a thumbs up. You know what? I'll give Camila applause. She hasn't done anything to
His name is Pepito Hawk?
Yeah, Pepito Hawk.
Great, cool.
But yeah, so they ended up having to switch back to PS4, which I find slightly unfortunate. You know, when we did the South by Southwest Invitational, they ran on PC and it ran pretty effectively, but that's got to be like one of the only events at this point. They've really had issues, I think, with controllers. Does anyone know exactly what happened?
Hey, Ryan, I'm blocking here.
Ryan Harvey,
you guys stop giving us money so that we can talk.
Thank you, mature adult.
Thank you, mature adult. I don't know what you're doing here, because obviously this is not the place for mature adults, but we thank you. Fubar Duck actually tweeted out that when they started to run the tournament, they had trouble with getting multiple controllers to work. And they tried several different laptops. They were actually running on laptop instead of PC, desktop PCs. I don't know how big of a factor that would be. But the end result was 2 hours into the tournament, they decided to run on PS4, which was unfortunate for people who were hoping to run it on PC because
I'm blocking here.
Thank you, Beaver.
It's really not funny anymore, guys. Stop giving us money.
Yeah, just give us thousands of bits, too, instead. I mean, something like that, you know. Personal donations to my PayPal.
So, wait, it's 2018. We've been doing this for a couple years now. And like, I remember doing Wednesday Night Fights Street Fighter 4 on PC when that was a thing, because I think Level Up had some kind of a deal with like Alienware or something. And yeah, that was the biggest issue, was like updating drivers or trying to get a stick to read on a computer and things like that. But I figured we would have been past that at this point. But we're very clearly not. I guess is that the takeaway from this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know where to put the blame. I mean, there's several issues. It's like having the same hardware. It's whether or not the port is actually good, this and that. I think we'll be PS4 boys for the foreseeable future for Street Fighter V for sure. Nails that down.
There's just, you know, you mentioned the ports. So many of the games right now don't have great ports in terms of being able to run on run tournament situations, you know, having controllers plug in and unplug and having to deal with a whole bunch of different controllers. It sucks, because if we're able to run on PC, that gives you a whole lot more flexibility in terms of the setup itself. You know, you don't have to switch a PS4 for a 360 or Switch, depending on the game, you know. If people really
honestly, the biggest thing, and this is part of why Viad pushed it, is it's really big for sponsorships. I mean, there's way more in the way of computer parts companies and stuff to market for PC accessories than there is for PS4s. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's the future, so I hope we can figure it out at some point. But yeah, now.
The money is like flowing in more and more, and they're talking about how esports is going to be a multi-billion-dollar company entity, I guess, by 2020. So like, if that's the case, then my fingers are crossed that all of the issues like this, like these little road bumps that come from just like not really have explored the space enough before we actually get and start employing all this stuff into actual events and tournaments, it'll be a thing of the past, hopefully by like the next chapter, if you will, by like, you know, when Street Fighter 6 comes out and all that kind of stuff. But like right now we're really hitting these bumps still, and it's like, it sucks, but it's kind of expected just because there's not a ton of support. It'll be a thing of the past soon, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if that piece comes together, then that opens the door. Because really, who do we have for sponsors in general? in terms of fighting game events. We have a couple monitor companies. We've got headsets. We've got chairs. But that's really it. We don't really have towers. We don't really have graphics cards. We don't really have sound cards. All of those, if for whatever reason the PC becomes the console of choice, then all of a sudden that stuff is on the table, and that's a possibility for events to attain additional sponsorship and do more things without having to raise prices for entrance fees and, you know, venue fees.
I also think it makes it more accessible for players of other games, but I mean, that's a long discussion. Moving on, unless anyone, someone has something else to say, CEO was announced for 2019 in Daytona Beach yet again. There was some drama about this last week that has been, we talked about how it was addressed. I saw there were several like Daytona newspapers that talked about this. It's been a pretty hot topic, even in the weeks since CEO.
Welcome to racist Daytona. You see this big billboard thing, right?
By the way, Zalbach, yes. Thank you.
And on that note,
you know, like he said last week, they signed a multi-year contract. So the idea of them suddenly breaking it off and going to another place is very tough. The other thing is, this is something I mentioned on Twitter, or excuse me, on Reddit, but I don't think I brought it up here. For events the size of a CEO, the size of a Combo Breaker, you know, the size of a Final Round, you know, there aren't really a ton of great options in terms of venue, because all of them are bigger than what a typical hotel can handle.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not quite big enough to be like an Evo where they can take up a whole convention center. So you've got all of these things, you know, now you have to find a venue that's sort of that in-between size, and there's not a ton that can fill that order. Like when Combo Breaker went to St. Charles away from, from their old location, you know, it's farther out from Chicago than Rosemont is, but if they move away from St. Charles, where else do they go in the Chicago area? I can't really think of a place. So I feel like CEO's probably in that same boat.
So like, there, of course, was a lot of attention on this, and it was floating around quite a bit on social media. People were talking about how they had these unfortunate and crappy interactions with the people of Daytona around the venue and all that stuff. And I'm sure you guys kind of covered that extensively last week. But flash forward to next year. Okay, it's going to be at this place again. Do you, as a competitor, like, entertain the idea of legitimately not going because of this? Or was it something it's like, well, I'll bring it up on social media, there will be this wave of talking about it, but ultimately it's not going to deter me from going? And, like, I personally can't answer this. I'm fine going to it, but I don't feel like I'm the kind of person that's going to get harassed. So I wonder, like, is this really going to hit numbers? Are people really going to not go because of this? Or is it really just something that's, like, unfortunate, but we can deal with it? Like, where does it fall on that spectrum?
I think that their quick response has probably merited them. You know, next year, people will probably still continue to go. I think the big question is if the same issues appear in CEO 2019.
And why wouldn't they? Like, what's that's, to ever, I mean, that's stop a good that? Question. I mean, unless there's this huge cultural change in Daytona between now and then, which, like, probably not, right? So, like, yeah, you're probably going to expect this kind of stuff again. And does it mean that, like, you just stay in the venue and don't really venture out? Or I don't know, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place kind of with this, depending on how severe it actually is, you know?
Yeah. And there's just, there's going to be some people who aren't going to go. Because let's face it, the majority of people who are going to CEO, they're not going to be in the running for a spot in Capcom Cup or Tekken World Tour Finals or what have you. So skipping an event is not going to be a career-ending move for 95% of people going. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is you have so many people who, you know, who would fall under this, who Let me here. Come back to me in a second because I got to try and reword this right.
Sure. Mike, do that thing where you fill dead space for like a few seconds.
All right. Well, I got nothing, man.
Yeah, I actually got something. Hi, this is the stranger.
Hello, voice of God.
Hello.
What do you have to say
Hello.
About Daytona?
No. So from what I gathered from social media, I think the bulk of the issue was outside of the venue, right? Because the mm-hmm. hotel had its own stretch of beach. The hotel itself had its own like food options.
Good. Beach was good.
Yeah. So I think the big issue was just people that were going out for stuff outside of the venue, outside of the tournament, like nightlife and, you know, sightseeing and all that stuff.
And Uber rides to and from the airport.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's going to come down to comfort, right? Like being uncomfortable somewhere is not ideal. As a matter of fact, I don't think ideal is even the right word. It's something that's not acceptable anymore. So if it were me and I was uncomfortable in a specific place because of the population around it, I wouldn't go back.
And the point I was going to make that kind of ties into that is the same reason why, when Final Round struggled, a lot of people stayed away was because there are so many other tournaments out there that people can choose to go to. You know, they have most people, their time off from work is not infinite. You know, their ability to travel is not infinite. So they have to pick and choose which events to go to. And if you have if you want to go to three or four events, you know, CEO might be on your must go list, but these types of things might make you say, you know what? Let me go to Defend the North instead. Let me go to SCR instead, you know, because I can still go to Combo Breaker. I can still go to Evo. I can still go, you know, there's so many tournaments out there that you have options. So
but CEO being one of the, like, the big names, like, I put it right up there with, like, you know, Combo Breaker and Evo, right? It's like, this is a lot of fun. So, I mean, it comes down to, I think if people are worried about their physical safety, that's going to be like a reason to not to go to this. But if they're like, yeah, I can get around all of this, I can avoid those places, then I think that CEO won't really get hit that big with like a drop in numbers. I'm hoping that's the case.
And that's a good point, because of the reputation that CEO has in terms of delivering a quality tournament experience to attendees. It's going to be people are going to be more willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, mm-hmm. if we had though reports of stuff like this happening at Final Round 2016 on top of a tournament experience that wasn't so good.
Oh yeah, people, GGs.
Yeah, there'd be very little reason for people who want to go outside of the Atlanta area to go there. You know, with CEO, everything about the tournament has been pretty well received, except for this stuff that is out of Jabali's control. So how do you deal with that? I don't know.
Well, addressing a comment in the chat, we're not really trying to tiptoe around it. It was definitely, we know the issue is aggressive racism. We talked about it last week. This was just kind of addressing that. We read several quotes, several things. Yes, we definitely know and have talked about what the issue was. As I said, the last thing I have to say is that multi-year to me probably means more than two. So if this happens again next year, then I think it's going to become a real problem. Mm-hmm. It already is a real problem, but then I think it's going to become like a, does CEO have to do something big problem? So we'll see.
And that could be a long process.
A couple lightning round pieces of news. Skullgirls is getting a port on the Switch. Very cool. We're seeing a lot of games go towards the Switch. We've seen DBZ get announced for it. God, what's that new game? Blade Strangers or whatever is coming out on it. SNK Heroines is only coming out of it. What? Something else dropped?
Pocket Rumble.
Pocket Rumble dropped
in a couple months late, but it finally made it. People are having a lot of fun with it. Viya just endorsed it big time on Twitter, saying it was really fun and the netcode's really good and stuff.
No, I think it's a fantastic console for fighting games. I mean, honestly, if it becomes like a console that can actually run these games properly, I think it's a really good system for it.
Well, like, people aren't when you think about the Switch, you're like, well, I can't really use my fight stick or got to do all this process of, like, modding a fight stick to be able to have it on Switch. And then there's a lot of people that aren't going to have the same thing. But, like, we're kind of passing the era of it ever needing to have a fight stick, right? People are playing on pads left and right and like, that's not really the standard anymore. So I think we've gone past that need for a fight stick, but have we gone past the need for a fight stick in people's like perceptions and minds? That's something that hold it back a little bit.
It would definitely hold it back for a bit, for sure. But yeah, I think if it gets there, the sticks will follow very quickly. I mean, it takes a stick company probably an extra, you know, nothing basically to make a Switch version of it. So,
I think if the demand is there. We're in a period that will last a couple years where, you know, before it was fighting games were catered to stick controls, and then if you had pad, you kind of had to adapt. Now we're getting to the point where games are going to be coming out the box ready for pad control, and if you're a stick player, you have to be the one to adapt. You have to be the one to make to kind of get a stick that works.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Dragon Ball works on stick, but it was clearly designed for pad. I mean, there's like four or five different things that you have to press two buttons at once. So, I mean, you need more nape buttons, or you need to press buttons in weird directions. I mean, we're already getting to that point for sure. Also, in Soul Calibur, Talim was announced. Talim hasn't been in the game, I believe, for a few iterations now. I remember she was in Soul Calibur 2, the last one that I really played. People seem pretty excited about that.
This looked really good, in my opinion. Like, the visuals for this character, I mean, the game has looked good through and through throughout, but, like, I saw those and I was like, whoa, let me take an extra step or an extra second and look at these, because they looked so ridiculously HD and crisp, and so another good spot for that game.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the waifu game coming out on Switch, the KOF heroine game. Talim is waifu material. Do we have the trailer? Nope. I don't think we do, but...
No, we linked it. We don't have it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'll put the link
Link it in the chat. It's a good trailer. I watched it. I've watched every... I don't even know if I'll play this game, but I've definitely watched all the trailers. It looks really cool. I hope it does something. I mean, honestly, Tekken has given me hope that, like, games can make their comebacks. Because Tekken certainly did it. So...
Mm-hmm.
Some more quick stuff. Evo Japan was officially announced to be February, a month back as to this year, and in a different city. It's in Fukuoka now, a much smaller area of Japan as compared to Tokyo.
It's like the other side of Japan, yes, too, isn't it? It's like all the way across Japan.
Yeah, I think it's south. Don't quote me on that.
And maybe this kind of comes on the part one was the fact that Evo Japan was financially not all that successful. There was a lot in the they were in the red, and Japan of course has its gambling laws that
had really a lot of issues too as far as being run.
And so this change of venue, like, nothing's been said to this effect, but like speculation is maybe it's because it's like going to be cheaper there, or things will be a little bit easier financially there and such. But but yeah, like, everyone's pulling for this event. Everyone wants to see this be successful and do well and kind of expand the Evo, you know, kind of legacy and touch all the way out into the East and such. So fingers are crossed that things will go well. People were like, I don't know if we'll have another Evo Japan after that news came out that it didn't do so hot, even though at the very end of this year's Evo Japan, they said we will return. So it's good to see that it's actually going to happen now. And we hope that it goes even better than last year. Or I guess I should say this year.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is with this, a couple things. One, you know, it gives them a better chance to go for it, because most of their issues were venue costs. You know, the last minute change, having to get a bigger venue. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to believe that getting a venue in Fukuoka is a little easier to do or within a budget than it is to get one in Tokyo. The other part is, you know, Tokyo's that major international city, but it's physically closer to South Korea and to China than Tokyo is. So we may see a few more international competitors make the journey out. And it's not like Fukuoka is, you know, middle of nowhere. It is it's a growing city. It's a very young city, very popular city, one of the fastest growing in Japan. It's just, for a lot of people, you know, especially people outside of Japan, it's not Tokyo. And for a lot of people, Tokyo is a bucket list destination. Like, part of the reason to go to Evo Japan is to go to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So
now is there a date in February yet?
I believe it was the last weekend of February. Let me double check.
Because Dark Requiem has an interesting thought in chat, which is that, I mean, maybe they'll put it on the CPT if it's late enough.
February 15th through 17th.
That seems a little early. I don't think it'll make the CPT at that date. We've been starting in March and not even the beginning of March. But they'd have to really stretch.
Like right before it starts.
They'd have to really stretch to get that on the CPT. But I don't. It's hard to say, right? Like, I think most top players travel to it anyway, because, you know, it's Evo Japan. But I do think not being on the CPT does lose you a handful of those other, you know, tertiary American, European names who aren't going to travel for that event. So.
Well, and this event doesn't necessarily want huge numbers. Like, that could be a problem for it, right? That was the problem this last time, is they had too many people because they can't charge, you know, an entry fee or whatever. And so it's like, let's not necessarily make it appealing to every last person on the planet, because we can't really control, or we can't really harbor that.
Now, one thing I wanted to point out is that in the past, like, CPT does start in March, but in the past they have started with the Cannes event in France in February before. So this would be earlier than that, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility that they would start in February.
Yeah, and isn't final round not happening anymore? Or, like, wasn't there, like, some turbulence with final round?
Maybe. As of now, it is not, but we know in the past that Shin Blanca has talked about not running final round after a lot of his events. So this there seems to be more truth to it this time than previous, but I wouldn't say it's 100% sure that it's not happening.
Yeah, because final round has usually been like the beginning of the CPT for the past 2 years. So it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with that.
We have a few rumors in the rumor mill, and there are usually many, but these seem to have gained a lot of traction for new seasons for both Street Fighter and Tekken. And I think you had info on that, Steve.
Let's start with Tekken, because that has the more solid evidence behind it. There were listings on Japanese sites for a new version of Tekken coming out early next year. It would include a quote-unquote welcome price, which is sort of the Japanese equivalent of the cheaper Game of the Year edition. And there was also a listing for a season pass, a second season pass. So it sounds like we are going to get another wave of characters for Tekken 7, which makes sense. So,
and this has really just become like a completely standard model in the FGC at this point, are these yearly seasons. I mean, DBZ is doing it now. Street Fighter is doing it. Tekken's going into it. And those are the three biggest games. It seems like other games may follow. So, yeah, sounds... I mean, at least that part sounds like a no-brainer, to be honest.
Yeah, my concern is what's going to make up that season pass, because I know a lot of people want more characters instead of the two we got this time around, and that Tekken Bowl mode, which some people really loved, some people don't give a damn about.
It was cool, but it had like nothing to do with Tekken, right?
Yeah, it was small for a season pass, for sure. It didn't really feel as much.
No, Tekken had a lot more DLC characters there, right? Beyond just, was it Geese and Noctis that were actually in the season pass for season one?
There was, like, when the console version of the game came out, like, the vampire Alyssa was one. I think there was one more. Maybe not.
That's and it. she was just like a pre-order kind of bonus. She wasn't part of the DLC, right? Or, I'm sorry, she wasn't part of the season pass thing. So, interesting. It's, like, it's kind of hard to get an idea. Like, do they want to add, like, three more characters based on like the amount of DLC they had, or is it like a two characters in Tekken Bowl 2 or whatever they're gonna do with
they
it?
Have
you know?
A, like, they have a gold mine, man. I feel like they can come out of the woodwork with a whole bunch. There's so many Tekken 6 and Tekken Tag 2 characters that are fan favorites and old school that aren't in the game and wouldn't require a ton to put into the game. So I think it'll be easy for them to fill it up if they want to.
Yeah. There's also Kiryu. You know, they've shown that willingness to go well outside what you'd expect. So maybe some Yakuza DLC. Maybe another character from Virtua Fighter. You know, maybe an Avatar character. Huh? Avatar? Yeah, that would be good, right? You know, Aang, Korra, let's go.
That would be wild.
That I'm the only person that's in favor of that, huh?
The first thing I thought was the James Cameron movie, and I was like, why? That's silly.
They should put the James Cameron. If they announced, like, Avatars in Tekken, it was the James Cameron blue people, oh, that would be legendary.
Cameron himself.
I would be salty as fuck. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, man, that would make me so happy.
Oh.
All right. So well, then moving on, we also had some Street Fighter rumors.
Yeah, and we actually have a graphic for this. Yeah, because we're fancy. This was posted by Das Bergeben, who has in the past leaked out a lot of information about several fighting game titles, including Street Fighter, including Injustice. Most of it has been correct.
And Smash, too, right? Didn't he do some Smash stuff?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
Don't quote me, but I think the idea was he called out that Ultimate would have, like, all these returning characters and Ripley and things like that. And that was shortly before Ultimate dropped. So, like, that would have been one of the things that gave him as much credibility as he got for these leaks here on Street Fighter. That's kind of where we're at, I think.
So, yeah, what they posted this week was that there are plans for an 8-character lineup for season 4 of Street Fighter V, 2 of which would allegedly be free. Does not indicate which 2 they are. But looking at the list, mostly returning characters, C-Viper, Makoto, Necro, Oro, Q, and Sodom, not Sadan. Because I am sick and therefore I am off my game. Also said 2 new characters are coming, Phantom, which would be Fang's apprentice, and a second character that they did not have any details on.
Man, so, these characters that is the rumor. Interesting to me. A lot of characters I like in that list. So I hope it's correct. No Gouken. We're never going to get Gouken. Don't worry. John.
But people liked him. They just didn't like to play him.
Did they?
They thought he was cool. Everyone's like, Gouken looks cool, and the screen shakes when he does stuff. And, he, you know, yes, they did. Shut up. Next thing.
So, I mean, here's where I'm at. You know, I don't know how much stock to put in this, but if this is the direction they go, I would like it. You know, I think that they can make a lot of people happy with returning characters. You know, how often are people still talking about wanting to get their hands on Sagat?
I mean, I'm going to say something that's going to sound really harsh, and I actually like Street Fighter V a lot as a game. I would not be excited to see my favorite characters make it into the DLC if they look anything like Season 3. So I really hope they step it up, because every single one of the 4 Season 3 DLC characters that has come out has looked garbage animation-wise. It's kind of crazy to me that they're making a Season 4.
You're on the Cody looks like garbage train?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Choo-choo!
Well, okay, so something, though, about Q. It's very early, but G, who's the next DLC character to come out for Season 3, so he's on the horizon. The speculation there is that he will be like an echo of Q, if you will. So definitely not like a replacement or anything like that, but he's got like the single letter name, and then if you look at his the alternate costume leak that came out like a while back, he's got basically a Q callback costume where he's basically wearing Q's stuff. And so, like, I imagine a lot of his moves will echo those of Q, and he'll have some that like either look like, you know, the things that Q would do, that kind of a thing. If that character is indeed like that, then I think that kind of lessens your chances to actually have the real Q come in later on. Doesn't eliminate it, but it's like, you know, well, I don't know. I don't want to draw too many conclusions there, but that's my feeling on this. And so I'm like, once I saw that G was kind of the echo of Q, I would my expectations for Q to come into the actual game went down a lot.
I think that there's still the possibility that G could end up being one of the Men in Black who replaces J and K.
Cute.
That didn't even deserve that sort of response. That was a terrible joke, and I apologize. No, they're not. No one is laughing. No
Mike's
one
laughing.
Is laughing.
Mike can't keep a straight face.
It's true.
Okay, well, moving on past leaks. Man, we're really running through stuff today. E-League is coming up, and E-League is probably one of the biggest events coming up. We have the top eight bracket winners and losers decided for the finale, and I think we have a graphic for that. Yes, we do. We've got Tokido playing versus Punk in a rematch of the century. It's pretty funny because both of them have been having more trouble per se than they had been when they were on top at Evo, but they both managed to make it to this point in E-League.
Punk fighting for his soul back.
Now, Punk, who has not have been, has been, I mean, nothing but a shadow of himself in Season 2, dominated his E-League group and looked really, really good. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can, like, you know, defend the crown despite the change in his level of play since then. Because, I mean, I think everyone knows that Punk has it in him. But, you know, between splitting games and splitting characters, he's been trying to, you know, figure out what works for him. And I honestly hope he finds it.
Tokido has also been on his, like, worst streak since we can remember with, like, and then this is worst. He had, like, a 13th place and a 9th place finish in the last two majors.
Garbage,
or something like
yeah.
that, and they were premieres.
Oh,
so it's like,
no.
Well, yeah, I know. But he's not doing as well as he was. And, like, I think that there's, you know, something to be said there. Does that mean that if he comes out and destroys everyone at E-League, anyone will be surprised? No. But, you know, there's a little bit to the narrative there to, like, you know, Punk has a chance. And again, like, he did amazing in E-League with, like, 17 different characters. It's like he used a different character every match. So it's like, did Punk kind of get his groove back, and will he be dominant at E-League? Well, that wouldn't be incredibly surprising considering recent results. Keeps right. things interesting, is what I'm saying.
Moving on through the winner's bracket, we have Problem X versus Daigo. And yet again, most of the winners of the brackets were pretty dominant. A lot of the people who made it through in losers had to kind of fight their way back. But most of these winners were pretty dominant throughout. Problem X versus Daigo is pretty interesting. We've got Guile versus a combination of Abigail and Bison. I think it seems safe to say in my head he'd want to go with Bison, but who really knows? Bison actually does pretty well versus Guile in Street Fighter V, contrary to the past. So I definitely think that could go either way.
You know what Problem X hates, though, in his matches is playing against characters or players that force him to guess more often. And by that, I mean, like, is the player or character going to rip random DPs in the middle of weird places to throw him off balance? And who does that better than Daigo, right? So I feel like... first of all, I feel like Problem X has been on a tear. He hasn't been winning premier events, but he's been doing better than in the past. He got top eight at Capcom Cup last year, and he's been doing extremely well. He just took down a ranking event. I think it was last weekend, and he's already been a top player for a long time, and he's been doing even better, and like even better every single like month or so. So it's like, he's on fire right now, and Daigo is kind of like a crapshoot as to whether or not he's going to bring out the beast or bring out like a limp noodle kind of a performance. And so it's like, it's a little bit of a toss up. So I don't even know how to kind of split this one.
See, I think the one thing that Daigo has over anything is his preparation. You know, we talk about Daigo with prep time being sort of a meme, like yeah. Batman with prep time, and as good as Problem X has been, I have trouble seeing him getting past a fully prepared Daigo in that matchup. Now, he could make a run through the loser's bracket, but I just don't see Daigo losing here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you had to ask me for the, are we doing predictions yet? I guess we'll.
I think we should do predictions. Maybe we can go through this and then we can go back through and do each one since we already skipped
all
the
right,
first
we'll
one.
All right, we'll go. Yeah, okay, we'll go back through. Okay, in losers, we have Doggera versus Momochi. This has got to be the wild card match so far. These two have both been on a sine wave of results in Season 3, you know, going up and down and up and down. Doggera has made top 8 at Combo Breaker and bowed out pretty early at various other times. He's juggling Street Fighter V with being, you know, one of the top 5 or so Dragon Ball Z players. And Momochi has been, you know, streaming, playing Dragon Ball, playing different characters, trying Cody, who he was famous for at one point in Street Fighter IV. This has got to be the hardest match to call.
Yeah, we don't, I mean,
we don't even know what character that Momochi's going to play. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and I think Cody has a lot of potential. I think the character is really good. And who's going to be very ready for him? So it's like, does he pull out Colleen, who he's been practicing with for a long while and had that amazing run with at the end of his actual E-League performance? He did really bad in the group phase, and then when it went out into the actual bracket phase, he destroyed everybody. Is he going to try to carry that momentum into this next match with Doggera, or is he just going to pull out all the new Cody stuff? And it's like, is Doggera going to be having a good day, or is he not? Because that's what we've seen from him as well. It's like, yeah, he's hot or cold, but especially since Dragon Ball kind of became a big thing, like, his attention's definitely been there. So a million variables going into this equation.
Now, the other thing to point out is that these two played in Rage, which is that team tournament going on in Japan. And Momochi used Colleen against Doggera and won, you know, beat him. And his team actually swept Doggera's team 9-0. So... obviously that's one result out of many, but I think, you know, that was just a few days ago. So it'll be interesting to see, what Doggera does to reverse that result.
Fighting games are being patched so frequently and like matchups are so, there's so many characters at this point that we see the tug of war a lot nowadays though. It's very rare that someone beats someone every time. Like, people, results go back and forth, and usually the loser has a lot more to learn than the winner. So, I mean, I struggle to see, like, in Street Fighter V specifically, I struggle to see that someone lost and want to say they're going to lose again. In fact, I often feel like they have an edge. So, it's really interesting, for sure. And then we've got one more match in the first set, which will be Smug. No, not the Lone American. I was about to say something wrong. Smug versus Fujimura. Who is probably right now having the hottest streak of any of these players in top 8.
So hot right now.
So hot. But yes, Smug.
Like, go for it.
Smug not making nearly as large of a wave as the majority of these other players in, you know, the CPT standings, but did really, really solidly at E-League and has been really good in this invitational format, you know, like winning South by Southwest last year, doing well in E-League. I do think this format does help the way he plays in these slightly longer sets, and, you know, the prep time does play towards him, whereas Fujimura is definitely a bracket monster. So, I mean, that's something to take into account.
It's tough to bet against Fujimura in almost any setting right now. He could be enemy number one, too, because he could knock out both Americans in the bracket.
And so he's superpower mode in losers bracket, too. A lot of times he'll do okay, get thrown into losers, and then just turn it on and just tear through everyone. It's not a good outlook for Smug right now, but how sick would an upset be?
So if he beats Smug and then he beats Punk, you know, are those fans going to be cheering for him, or are they going to be cheering extra hard against him? Yeah, maybe a couple will. I don't know.
It's an interesting matchup. I mean, Ibuki and Balrog were considered two of the best characters in Season 2. Both lost some a lot in Season 3. Now, Ibuki is making a big comeback on tier list. You see her as high as 4 or 5 now, whereas people had her as low as 10 or 15 when the season started. So this matchup has changed a lot. It's going to be interesting to see the Season 3 version of a matchup we saw so many times in 2017. I'm excited for it.
All right, so should we predict?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we got the Evo rematch, Tokido versus Punk. What do you guys think?
I'm going Tokido. It's going to be really hard for Punk to find a way to win that one.
I think Tokido's got in the bag.
Well, then I'm going to be different, and I'm going to go with Tokido as well. I think Punk's been really hot, but I think that you don't bet against Tokido. You lose that bet, and you go, well, I'm not mad that I lost that bet because that was the right bet to make. So I'm going to say Tokido.
I think the wild good player versus good player versus good player, hard to see what's going to happen round robin format favors Punk, but I think once we get into bracket, Tokido's got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, let's take it to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's take it to that other winner's side match, Daigo versus Problem X. Who you guys got?
I want to say Problem X. Like, my heart wants to go Problem X because, you know, I really wasn't much of a fan of him. Like, maybe it's because he's, like, a European player and he's always taken out American players and things like that. But he has really earned my respect as a player. Really this year, like, he's just been too damn consistent to not have that acknowledgement. That said, though, everything you guys said about Batman Daigo and him having a chance to prepare and watch the tapes and the footage, it's like, that's another one of those situations where it's if this was randomly in a bracket at a random tournament and they just ran up against each other, it's like Problem X is a fighting chance, but Daigo ready for you and Daigo getting better all the time at this game in particular, it's like, I can't bet against him. So I still have to go begrudgingly Daigo.
I mean, the other thing is, I do think Daigo's going to win. But I wouldn't be completely shocked if Problem X won, because he's the type of player that has a chip on his shoulder. You know, he has so many times felt disrespected because he's a European player, because he doesn't get a ton of matches against Asian players. He feels like not just his region is slept on, but he in particular is slept on. So if he's able to get this one, that would be a massive statement. And, you know, I do think Daigo's going to win, but I would not put that outside the realm of possibility.
Is this 3 out of 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, yeah, Abigail, too. Like, that's a real issue.
If he picks Abigail, he's going to lose.
You think so?
If he picks Abigail, he's going to lose. Abigail sucks, and he especially sucks versus Kyle. But I think he's going to pick Bison, and I think he's going to win. I think Bison beats Kyle. I think Bison beats Kyle, and I think that Problem X is really underrated in these scenarios. I think he's a very smart player, and I think given the time to play with that matchup, I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, I think I'd give it like 6-4 Daigo, but so I mean 40% is still a pretty good shot at it, you know, all things considered. So we'll see.
But I guess I'm the lone person going with Problem. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take a look at Dogra versus Momochi in the loser side.
So many variables here.
With the knowledge that Momochi just beat Dogra and how hard I think Dogra is focusing, it's hard to say. But at the same time, there's this X factor where I feel like when Dogra goes to a tournament and Dragon Ball and Street Fighter are there, he's focusing on Dragon Ball at this point. And I think that gets in the way. But knowing that he's flying out to E-League just to play Street Fighter, I think Dogra is a better player, so I'm going to pick him.
I'm leaning towards Momochi. You know, this could go either way, but I do think Momochi's been playing well as of late, especially in Rage, and I just see that continuing here.
There are so many...
God, you're in
different
so
variables
stupid,
in this
man.
That it's hard for me to make the call based on like any kind of solid evidence. I really can't, but I don't like Dogra's new haircut.
How much
and
do
style.
You hate Urien, John? I just want to hear it.
How much what?
How much do you hate playing versus Urien?
Oh, I don't. I really enjoy
you
playing
don't?
Against Urien. Like, there's a lot of crap. Like, getting hit by an Aegis that takes the round from you is still very crappy, but it's not as bad as it was because of the V triggered, you know, nerfs and things like that. And the character, like, I have fun playing against Urien more than I don't. There's definitely points of salt, but I don't have an issue with Urien anymore. And I used to, I think season 2 as it started, Urien was the best character and was dumb. That all said, like, I don't like Dogra's new hair, so I'm going to go with Momochi. But I won't be surprised at all if it's Dogra that ends up taking it.
Yeah, I think I'm just biased. I really hate playing versus Urien, but I go with Dogra.
All right. So do we want to do...
And then Smug's going to lose. All right.
Yeah. That quick, huh?
Well, okay, again, it would be really cool to see Smug take out the guy that may be the absolute best in the game right now. But it's like Smug had a really good day on the day that he qualified for this top eight, right? And it was like that was awesome, that was good, that was great. Is that momentum, which was like a month ago now, going to carry over into right now? We haven't seen Smug do a ton outside of this E-League performance, so it's like, right now, Smug had a good day. That's like the most we can say for him in terms of like in the realm of these top players. And that was still finishing in the loser's bracket, right? So it's like that comes up against Fujimura, who has a lot of good days. And when he does, he destroys like Infiltration twice, Daigo Shen, everybody, you know, and everyone ever. And it looks like they don't even know how to play Street Fighter. It's just like you can't put those two together and make any kind of like logical conclusion that Smug's going to win. It's all emotional. It's all like, well, that would be cool. But that's as much as I can give him right now.
And these groups were extremely unbalanced, in my opinion. And Fujimura was definitely in the hardest one. This is a mismatch. I don't think Smug's incapable of winning, but you'd be hard pressed to be able to bet on Fujimura without odds.
Yeah, and it's not, for me, it's not like I think Smug is bad or Smug is, he's a very good player. But this is, my feeling on this is just Fujimura is arguably one of, if not the best players in the game right now. And it's tough for me to see anyone beating him right
now. It's like you look at Fujimura, what does he have in his corner? Well, like you can get a little more intricate with it. You know, like his maximization and his optimization of every situation. It's like, oh, he randomly landed a light kick from full screen away, but the hitbox interaction let it happen. He's converting that into 7 billion damage, like, every time, right? And then the Ibuki mix-ups with her V-Trigger 2, we've seen him go crazy with that and nail it from so many different places, like, you know, from regular block strings into it to anti-air to like he teleports under you or like, you know, dashes under you and activates and hits you from full screen and converts. It's like you have very specific things that people are routinely talking about to highlight how good Fujimura's play is right now. Specifics. With Smug, it's like he's got Balrog and he plays, you know, solidly, and a lot of it is like very Street Fighter V, you know, read based stuff, which is great. But it's like when you can delve into a player and pick him apart and understand like why he's doing so well, and you have that up against like, he's a pretty good Balrog player. It's like, it's just the playing field's not level.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a Mount Rushmore of Street Fighter V, undeniably Fujimura is on it. At this point,
at least right now.
Yeah, it's Infiltration, it's Tokido, it's Knuckle Dew, and it's Fujimura. And I think if you look at results across all three seasons, it's undeniable. Those would be the four. So.
Yeah.
No love for Mena?
Mena's right there. I mean, I'm as much of a Mena shill as anyone. But Mena doesn't have the season one or three results to be on there. Whereas I think all of the other four players were dominant at one point in all three seasons.
I think there's some value in winning the championship.
Of course there is, yeah.
I can see your point. Mena gets a little exhibit at the Mount Rushmore of Street Fighter, like little hall museum where you like, that's the other stuff. They get to get your money and stuff, but you're really there to see like the big mountain off in the distance. But Mena gets like a little, you know, designated area of his own. If you want to pay extra and go into the museum part, that's what Mena gets.
Or he could be the much bigger monument, a couple hundred miles away that Crazy will dwarf the other four.
Well, either way, he wants several hundred thousand dollars, so.
Yes, and he's doing more with it than most people do for their scene, so congratulations to him.
All right. And so I guess we'll do one more prediction, right? We should say who we think is going to win E-League, since we can't really go through any more matches.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John, who's winning E-League?
So the clear-cut choice, all things equal, would probably be Fujimura right now. But he's starting in loser's bracket. He's got a lot harder road than whoever wins in winners. And you got people like Tokido in winners and Daigo in winners. And so that's hard. I am going to go with a combination of who I think will probably win versus who I want to see win. And I'm going to stupidly probably say Daigo because he's in a good position. He's got a good first match, and he's Daigo, and yeah.
All right, Steve.
I think at the end of the day, the person who's walking out of there with $150,000 is going to be Tokido, and I think he's going to take it over Fujimura in the grand final. Fujimura gets the reset, but Tokido wins it overall.
Fujimura, if he gets a reset, when does he ever lose? Like, the guy, when the guy is hot, he's untouchable. It's just like if you catch him in the wrong time. But if he's scoring a reset on you in grand finals, I think he's like 100% on wins there.
Who you got, Elon?
It's going to be a draw.
It's going to be a draw?
Yeah. They're going to have to give two first place
gonna
prizes.
Going to go to PKs?
Out. Yes. Penalty kicks. The goalie is going to be that security guard from the first season.
Oh, Peter?
Is that his name? He has a name? Wolf Crone and K-Brad. No.
God damn. I was hoping you were talking about Peter, because if Peter was the second character that they were talking about, I would buy that, no questions asked. As long as they used that character intro video that someone made for him with the ooh, god damn.
All right, and then I'm gonna go with I think the other two picks have been taken, and I'm gonna go with who I think is gonna win, which is Fujimura. I think that being in the loser's bracket is a real disadvantage, but I also think his path is very good through the loser's bracket. As we noted, Smug seems like a good match for him. I think he plays Punk if Punk loses to Tokido, which I think is going to happen, and I think that's going to be an easy match for him, at which point he plays either Dogura, Momochi, Daigo, or Problem X, and I see him winning all of those too. So the question just comes down to what he can do versus Tokido, and I think that's going to be a win. So Fujimura for me.
Is Efren still in the chat? Because I want to get his pick for the win as well, so we can make fun of him when he loses finally, because the guy Efren always picks the right person.
Probably Punk.
Yeah, he always goes American, huh?
He does.
He does.
We're going to assume Efren picks Punk.
And the last thing on the topic of, and this is just pretty short, of Americans versus Japan, Sonic Fox hosted his own summit of PAR and invited over a bunch of the best. I think Hook Gang and Super Noon and then all the great New York players like DeKill Sage and Sonic Fox himself are there training, trying to take it back. And I think that's fun. I mean, it's kind of crazy. We haven't seen a like true continental rivalry like this in a long time. So...
he took my same pick. What a loser. You can't pick my pick. But it is
Daigo.
Cool. Yeah, you took Daigo. You can't hate on the idea that, hey, we got our ass kicked by Japan. Let's rally together. Let's iron sharpen iron and get ready for them next time. The whole Dragon Ball FighterZ scene story has been really good. We thought it was going to just be this Goichi fest forever, right? Like he's going to go on a rampage like Zero did in Smash 4 and things like that. And it really didn't play out that way. Goichi had this really good first start, but then he was finally dethroned by Fox recently, right? At Combo Breakers like a month ago. And then Summit happened, and sure enough, it was a new winner with Hook Gang God coming out with the Piccolo tech. And then, of course, CEO, we saw Kazunoko. So it's been like this revolving door of players winning. And not only that, it's had like the Japanese and America spotlights going off. So it's been a really exciting progression, right, with all these different players winning, both representing different countries and just they themselves taking it. So I would like to see constant new blood because I think that keeps things interesting as well. I mean, it's always fun to see, like, try to see the established king get dethroned and such, but it would be very nice to see the pendulum swing once back again to the American side of things. Or who knows, you know, maybe Leffen will come out of nowhere and take something for Europe and then add that into the mix. But again, it's like, well, my butt's on the edge of the seat waiting to see what happens here, and so good on you, DBFZ.
Yeah,
The other thing is that as of late, we haven't really seen a whole lot of these gaming houses come together, really. We had the FG TV stuff a while back, but other than that, we haven't really had a bunch of top U.S. talent get together and say, you know what, we're going to grind it out for a week and get better. You know, there are always people doing that, but it's always like, whoever's in the region. It's never like a collection of the top guys,
which is different from Japan. I mentioned this in February, but the local in Osaka is Goichi, Dagara, Fenrich, Koji Kyoji. Like, that is basically a collection of three or four of the best players in the world. And this is something the U.S. needs to combat that, which is terrifying. And Tokyo has Kazunoko versus a bunch of great players there. So, I mean, the size difference of the U.S. is going to require some of this flying around to catch up, I think.
Absolutely.
And then I think that's going to bring it into what we usually end the show with, which is our question of the day and our block grab. I think we've got a question of the day lined up right now. And we asked all of you, well, you know what? Steven usually does this. So, Steve, do it.
I guess I can do that. If you haven't figured it out, Efren's still not here. Taking care of his newborn baby, his new daughter. Congratulations once again. I sounded so sarcastic when I said that.
Yeah, I thought you were doing. You thought you were going back to the bit of. I think it's a cop out having a baby.
Maybe I should. I don't know.
Very selfish of him.
So you know, this is his first child, so we figured we'd ask the people, because who else knows better than our fans about parenthood? So we asked, what parenting advice or tips can you give to the new father? Some guy's ace something. I said, he said, don't dress her like T-Hawk for Halloween until she's at least six, and don't dress her like T-Hawk for any other day until the end of time.
That'd be a pretty cute Halloween costume, though.
Teresa Hawk, that's good.
Bloomtoon said, don't let her play anime, which that's is, true. I think, good advice for anybody. Mystic Spiral said, teach your baby about frames early on so that they can dominate the FGC before they turn 18. Sonic Fox needs the competition.
Mom and dad won't have to work for as long. Be nice.
Michael Martin said, invest in handheld gaming.
Mm-hmm.
JSamF said, real tip, always carry baby wipes. Always be ready for baby cross-ups. Congrats. Actually giving... We had some people give actual advice, so...
That's silly.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking. A. Sebastian Jennings said, listen to your wife and agree with her vehemently during this time period. The dude must abide. And then let's close it off with Dave B., who said, quote, set reachable goals.
Mm. I mean, Efren, known for shaving his legs, I think that's going to be a really good, like, father-daughter, you know, connection, bonding moment when he gets to finally teach her how to shave her legs and such, so.
Yeah, Efren will tell you, he will talk your ear off about his swimming career in high school, so ask him about that.
Well, he did it more so because he wanted to shave his legs.
Yeah, no, like, that's true.
That's why it came about. He's like, I guess I need an excuse because it wouldn't be, like, acceptable or whatever, so it's like, but it was really based on, like, I really want to shave my legs and dress up, you know, at home. And stuff. So, yeah.
This is
different story. For a different day.
Yeah, this is going in a direction that I was not expecting it to.
All right, we got some time. I'm going to do something really stupid. We don't have we don't have like a full block grab fleshed out, but we have an idea. And so I'm going to roll with it, and we're going to do a block grab.
Block grab.
All right, so with the rumor mill turning, we have heard that, you know, Tekken might have its DLC Season 2, and we have no real info past that on who these characters might be. Assuming they are guest characters, we're going to do some block grabs on some guest characters, and I'm going to leave it to the chat to come up with some ideas.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
This is dangerous.
For some guest characters. So that's actually going to I didn't really think about the fact that we're not in real time right now. So does anyone have one to start us off with?
I mean,
okay, we'll start with Kiryu. Kiryu.
Ed from Ed. That was you, though. Double D from Ed and Eddie.
Oh, God.
Nah, let's not do that one.
Kiryu. Let's go with Kiryu.
Moses.
Are you blocking or grabbing?
I am grabbing for no other reason than to get everybody shut up about getting Kiryu in the game.
Who's that?
From Yakuza.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So is that a block or a grab?
Oh, I, whatever. Yeah. Sure. I'm going to agree with Steve. I'll grab it.
I don't really see what's so interesting about Kiryu, to be honest. But people seem to really want him. But I'm still going to block. Yeah. He doesn't really intrigue me that much.
They've been all about guest characters in Tekken. And they've been home runny, you know, with Geese, with Akuma, with... and like, Noctis isn't that great, I guess, as a character. Like tier-wise, but people were still excited to see him, right? So, what are we got? Like, Kratos? Kratos' son? One Punch Man? Goku? I don't know.
Oh, God. This was the worst idea I've ever had, for sure. I mean, this has got to go down in the history books. All right, I'm going to go with a wild one that I just saw. What about Link? We had Link in Soul Calibur many an eon ago. What about Link in Tekken 7?
I got a block, you know, just because I've talked about the experience I've had with Link in Soul Calibur 2 a few times on this game, and I do not want to relive it, so I'm going to block.
I'd grab Link Breath of the Wild. Like, he's popular right now. His the light blue tunic and such differentiates him from all of the other Links for the most part, and he's in the public eye. So I think that would be a good choice. The bombs are kind of cool. They're a little bit different looking, and they work well, I think, with fighting game stuff. I mean, he is in Smash, but he's also one of kind of the poster boys of Smash right now. So yeah, I don't think that would be a terrible call. I'll grab it.
This is a definite grab. You're dumb if you don't want Link in the game. This would be so sick. Like, people would buy Tekken like crazy to play as Link. That happened with Soul Calibur.
I would gladly call myself dumb then.
You definitely want Link in this game. I definitely want Link in this game.
So then Yoda?
All right, so I got another one. And I saw this. I saw specifically Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I mean, there's a Bullet Club shirt in the game. There's been a lot of connection between wrestlers in the FGC. I will open it up to a wrestler and then which wrestler you want in Tekken. Steve, go. Do you want a wrestler? And if so, which wrestler?
Oh, God, there are so many. I would grab, if they got an actual New Japan wrestler to do this, I gotta pick Kenny Omega. I mean, there's so many good choices out there, but I don't know, maybe Ishii, maybe Jeff Cobb. God damn, Jeff Cobb is freaking. But yeah, I'm grabbing on that idea.
You could have a lot of success with this, but does a wrestler... Yeah, a wrestler would absolutely fit in the Tekken universe, right? You could have moves and make him king-like or something, I don't know. That's an interesting idea. That's a really interesting idea, like, because that's like one of the crossovers I don't think we've seen yet, and especially with the melding of like the FGC and like, you know, New Japan World Wrestling with CEO and things like that. That's a legitimate thing. Wrestlers are in fighting, well, they're in video games, right? And yeah, you could do it. So I don't know who, like, take your pick. If you want to go like old school and do someone like Stone Cold or way back, and I guess Hulk Hogan's not really an option. I'm not sure if that's a thing or not, but
I think that's an option in Daytona Beach.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but you go, I think that's a really good move, and I think you get a lot of people doing it. So I'll grab.
Oh man. The more I think about this, the more this is a grab. Like, they bring back Marduk and like Marduk is fighting some title match, and then it's versus some real wrestler. That would be insane. People go nuts. Like, this would probably be like the greatest decision anyone's ever made, and they should pay me for it.
John Cena.
John Cena would be a good... I'm between a few picks. I've got John Cena, because I think it would be hilarious. I've got Billy Gunn, because Billy Gunn's my favorite wrestler of all time.
The Ass Man?
Said no one ever.
Yeah, Billy Gunn, the Ass Man.
Wait, which version of Billy Gunn? Is it Ass Man Billy
Gunn?
Like
for
DX?
Sure.
Yeah, all right,
yeah,
cool.
Billy Gunn.
I don't know you anymore.
Stone Cold would be great too, but Stone Cold really not the pace of Tekken.
Goldberg,
Stone Cold's like flipping,
who was the champion when I was growing up.
Like, what's it?
Goldberg, or was that his name, right? Goldberg.
Dude, okay, how about this? Let me throw you a curveball. Kurt Angle. Steve, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle would be sick. Rey Mysterio.
The ankle lock.
There's so many good options.
You have to get to the side of the stage in order to break it.
All right, let
and
me.
And in Infinite Stages, he's top tier, obviously.
All right, let me throw one from chat that I saw earlier.
Rikishi.
2B.
Billy Gunn's gonna be in Tekken. I've already decided.
No, Billy Gunn's like I appreciate the call, but like he's so obscure. Like, no, no one's gonna.
John
take
Cena
Gunn.
Would be godlike though. They have to put John Cena in.
Oh, God.
Okay, so 2B.
I'm gonna stick 2B. With I'm gonna stick with Kurt Angle.
All right, all two. Right. Okay, well, so we're blocking and grabbing on 2B, the character from some Weeaboo game. I'm gonna block. So
I don't know who that is.
On.
From Nier.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who 2B is?
Nope.
All right. Do you remember the character from about a year ago? Everyone was obsessing over her ass because it was like a perfect ass.
Yeah, 2B versus Billy Gunn. It works perfectly. Okay,
oh, God. Why the hell are you so stuck on Billy Gunn?
First of all, I'm not stuck on Billy Gunn. That's Mike. He's stuck on Billy Gunn. And I don't know what 2B is, you weebs.
All right, we are officially losing viewers. this show is going way past proportion. Thank you for watching Best of Five. Unless anyone else has anything to say, I think we have gotten to the point of no return. We will be back next week. Hopefully, Efren will be back soon, but we're going to give him as long as he needs with his beautiful newborn daughter. Thank you, John Steve. Thank you to Alan. Thank you to all of you for watching.
Love you. Miss you. Bye. Yep.